Good day, friends. We come to your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. And as we mentioned to you before, we're in a four-lesson series that we've entitled Word Study. We're going to be looking at a couple of words in the Bible from the 12th chapter of Romans in verse 1, words I'm sure that are familiar to your ears. But before we get into that, let's take time out for a word of prayer. Let's pray to our God at this time. Join us if you care to do so. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy presence as the true and one and living God, offering unto thee the praise of our lips and our hearts in this prayer. We're glad, Father, that thou art the one God. We're glad that we can recognize you truly as our Father who art in heaven. We pray, Father, in this broadcast for those who listen, and certainly for those who make the broadcast possible, that we may beam the gospel truth into the homes and into the hearts of those who listen. We're mindful of the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And we're mindful of our country, leaders of our nation and other nations in the world. And Father, it is our desire and our yearning that men may come to a knowledge of thy truth, that thou hast the way that will cause people to gain peace with thee and see more clearly how to live at peace with their fellow man. Be with us as we proclaim thy truth, that the message will indeed not return to thee void, but the souls will hear it, believe it, and obey it, as the Bible teaches. Be with us then in this end, Father, as we humbly serve thee. This we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. From the 12th chapter of Romans, we have the expression in the last part of verse 1, your reasonable service. Notice the entire verse in its context now. Paul writes to Christians at Rome and tells them, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I like to point out that reasonable service is one of the most interesting word arrangements that I think we have any place in the Scripture. The word reasonable here is a word that applies to the reasoning or the thinking of man. This Scripture is not a good Scripture, I believe, to use from the standpoint of saying, well, God doesn't expect us to do anything we can't do. Now, that is true. But this refers to a reasoning from the standpoint of man's thinking process that is associated with a service or a worship. Some renderings of this verse will end up by saying, which is your spiritual worship? So it indicates to us a very strong teaching here that God beseeches us to present our bodies, and that's our life, as a living sacrifice that will be holy and acceptable unto him. This sets up a very interesting principle because it shows us that worship is something that goes beyond the confines of a church building. In our 20th century affluent society, I fear that there are those who want to be identified with religion, but it would seem that their lives are so geared and charted that they have little compartments in which they do this and they do that and they do the other thing. Well, I like an ordered life. Paul did commend the Colossian brethren in Colossians 2 and 5 for their order. But for someone to think that perhaps an hour or 2 hours on Sunday morning, that he can actually cram into that period of time his entire worship for God, and then expect to go the rest of the time during the week and following his own way, has missed the mark completely. This is something that shows that Christianity is something that goes into the daily activities of our life. Everything we say and everything that we do must truly be associated with what the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind for us. A good friend of mine who had passed on a number of years ago had mentioned to me during a personal conversation as a brother in Christ that he said, my life every day goes up before God either as a sacrifice that is acceptable or as one that he rejects. He wanted his life to be what God wanted it to be. He had placed such emphasis upon this and presenting his body as a living sacrifice that he actually had prepared a chart that members of his family found sometime later that showed that each day in his life, as he went through day after day, there were certain qualities, Christian attributes, that he actually would check himself on to see if he had kept up or had come up to that standard for that day. And as the family looked at those check marks, they realized here was one who had a desire to present his life daily as a living sacrifice or a spiritual worship to Almighty God. After all, when we begin to think of the Christian life that's before us, we find something that really does not clash with what God has created in the physical realm. It is a mistaken idea, even though self-denial is one of the great traits of Christian living, to think that one who becomes a Christian must deny himself or herself of all the benefits that God has made possible in this life. I know there are people who sometimes think that this is a thing that will make a life stronger, but I believe when we begin to look at all the blessings that God has provided about us, that we can realize that nothing that God has created that is good, and certainly it is good, is going to clash in any way with our spiritual Christian life. This is why I believe the Christian can get up in the morning, and even though he may have physical defects that bring pain to his body, yet he can thank God for the new day. And he can realize, as he hears the clatter of pans in the kitchen, as he smells the aroma of the breakfast being prepared, that God is beginning to bestow blessings upon him. Many of these blessings are in a physical nature, for the Scripture teaches us that he sendeth his rain upon the just and upon the unjust, that he brings unto the righteous as well as the unrighteous fruitful seasons and bountiful harvests. But I believe the spiritual blessings that he gives to us, which certainly stand out, are those that come to his children who are in Christ Jesus. One of the great blessings that God gives us in a very spiritual way that has something to do with our physical life is his attentive ear to our prayers. The words of the Apostle Peter in that famous third chapter, 1 Peter, that tells us the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, is a dynamic passage. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But isn't this a wonderful thing to realize in a complex society, a world in which the thing we perhaps are as inexperienced in as anything is knowing how to live each day, that God has given us a constant contact with him. I thought in looking at a commercial not too long ago, one of the communication organizations and businesses, how that when the phones first came out that you could take a phone and go just about any place and talk, whether it be in a yard or by a swimming pool or in a kitchen or in a den or in an automobile, I thought, you know, man is talking about his wonderful means of communication, and it is wonderful when we find people from space can certainly talk back to a head recorders or to just any place in the world. This is outstanding, and we seek not to minimize that. But to realize for so many hundreds of years that the Christian has had a constant communication with Almighty God. You see, the Lord is telling us through his word that he wants us to devote our life to the best possible thing. For when you devote your life to living for Christ, you're taking the best things in life, and you're taking the best thing that God has given you, and you're making these things perfectly harmonized together. This is why I believe that those who are children of God can appreciate the wonderful works of the Father. I'm wondering, as I talk to you on the broadcast today, how much David, as a human upon this earth, appreciated what God had made. His ability as a poet was outstanding. But I thought especially when I read years ago, the first time I can remember reading it, from the 19th Psalm in the first verse, what a great influence the works of nature must have had on David in even his spiritual life. The heavens declare the glory of God, he wrote. The firmament showeth his handiwork. So what are we saying on this broadcast today? We're saying that the Christian life is a life in which we present our entire bodies as a living sacrifice that will be holy and acceptable in the Lord, which is our spiritual worship, or a worship that is based upon thinking who God is and how he rules in the affairs of men. I want to especially point out to you before I leave on the broadcast today that the Lord, while he was upon this earth, talked much about worship. And as he talked to the Samaritan woman at the well, he talked about a true worship to God in spirit and in truth. We have told you in past broadcasts that the only place we know where both the spirit and the truth meet is in the Word of God. So on this broadcast today, as we've tried to dwell upon reasonable service from Romans 12 and 1, we've tried to emphasize that which truly can make your life a living sacrifice to the Lord. After all, Paul reminded the Corinthians in chapter 6 of the 1 Corinthian epistle that they were not their own. They were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. It truly belongs to him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but have a love for the Father. The world and its lust will pass away, but he that does the will of the Father will abide forever. So in this word study today, we found the thing that God wants us to do. But a lot of times people will say, well, the challenge is so great from the other side. He deals with this in verse 2 because the Bible gives us a picture of both sides of the coin, so to speak. He tells us what we shouldn't do if we're going to present our body as a reasonable service or in a spiritual worship to God. Be not conformed to this world, and then do this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It goes right back to the mind, doesn't it, to the thinking. That's the way people actually are converted to Christ, is when the teaching goes into their mind and they center upon it and eventually see the need, because of their belief, to turn from their sin and then gladly announce with their mouth that they believe that Christ is the Son of God, and follow it with a righteous action of being baptized into Christ Jesus for the remission of sins, truly in the name of the Savior. We'll leave this lesson with you on the broadcast today. It's been good to be with you. It's always good to come as though we were to your front porch, ring the doorbell, have you open that door gladly and say, come in, and set for a spell. And so we've done that on the broadcast again today. This is brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ. I hope you'll be in the attendance with these brethren in the assembly when you can. If you're a stranger, you'll be that when you come in the door, but you won't when you leave. Tell a friend and neighbor about this broadcast and be back with us next time as we continue on with another word study from the Word of God.